Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to present on some more of the work done at CPWR, some research that we've extended beyond some original research that we presented at CSTE in 2007 on the Don't Fall For It Ladder Safety and Fall Prevention Intervention Project, which we initially presented on union construction workers and had an opportunity to go and extend that to a non-union workforce in Minnesota. I'd like to thank Elsa Hiley, who's been working on the project with me, as well as Sue Dung more recently. So I have no relationships to disclose on this. I guess I wanted to ask the question right now, what's wrong with this picture? Anybody can just throw out what you think is wrong with this picture.
Not stiff.
Okay. So this is in our building, right outside of our front door in our little lobby. Okay, so we see this kind of thing every day. We're confronted with construction workers who are on the job who clearly don't follow regulations or do things because they have to, because the wiring for this job is in the ceiling, and the only thing he had was an A-frame ladder to use to get up there to do the work. He didn't have a work platform to use. So I thought that would be a good question to ask to start out with this presentation on fall prevention. Okay, same place, same little entryway outside our front door. This is last week. What does this look familiar to anybody? Can people here tell me what's going on with this picture? Anybody see this? Maybe it's a little unclear.
Coming down the ladder in a slightly awkward way.
He's facing the wrong way, and the ladder is is leaning against the wall. Okay, this happens all the time as well. I mean, people want to say, oh, you know, this is common sense that people wouldn't use the ladders this way, but they do all the time, right? We all see it all the time. So that's a kind of a little pictorial introduction to my presentation to show that this is happening every single day, and we need to think about falls in the context of where it is in construction-related injuries. It's one of the top problems in construction. Falls, struck bys, caught in betweens, and electrocutions. So falls is clearly an important area of concern. So I want to go back and give a little introduction on what we did in the earlier study as a context for what we just did. The first project that we did looked at ladder safety and fall prevention in 2005 to 2007. We started out with work in New Jersey and obviously hitting a very big target population. We did an intervention using a Don't Fall For It DVD, a 10-minute DVD, to introduce construction workers to fall prevention and ladder safety. And the first study that we did focused on 477 union workers, and the second one focused on 440 non-union construction workers who were in Minnesota. This was a partnership among a bunch of different groups, CPWR folks, the building trades in New Jersey. We worked with OSHA consultation program in Minnesota, who's very linked into the construction community and doing a lot of consultation on construction projects in Minnesota. And then we worked with a bunch of folks in the New Jersey Health Department who are also very helpful in helping us look at the data. And so the approach was to get maximum impact with a minimal amount of time. So we needed to be able to get in there, do this intervention project in 10 minutes on various construction projects. We wanted to assess self-reported behavior, attitudes, and knowledge about ladder safety and fall prevention. We had a DVD that had a lot of practical information and emotional messages for construction workers, you know, stories about how people's family were impacted, how they were impacted by their injuries from ladders. And then we also focused on OSHA standards as part of subpart 1926, subpart X, and the regs, and general knowledge, just general knowledge about how to set up a ladder, how to go up and down a ladder, how to carry things and hoist things, so that people, you know, they're so common, and yet we see these injuries occurring all the time. Why can't people get it right? So we did this mini pilot, initially with 25 electricians. We wanted to give them this DVD and find out if there was any things we could tweak with it. We did that. We also did a pre-test and a post-test analysis after they saw the DVD to see whether they had changes in understanding and knowledge about OSHA regulations related to ladders and fall prevention, and also whether they just general knowledge about ladder safety and what they did, so pre-test, post-test, after they'd seen this DVD. So I meant to say, this is we did the recruitment for the full study through the help of the New Jersey Building Trades, and then when we went to Minnesota, we actually targeted pre-apprentice plumbers and pipe fitters in their training period, and people will say, well, they're not non-union, but they were because it was their first year of apprenticeship training. They had no prior history or training or background through the apprentice program. They hadn't had any 10-hour OSHA classes, so we classified them as our non-union group for comparison purposes. These were a bunch of the organizations that participated in the New Jersey side of it. Really, in the Minnesota side, it was all through the apprenticeship and training program. So what were our methods? We had a single person administering the pretest and post-test. We did it on the job sites and at the apprenticeship training facility. It was usually during their class hours at the training center. A nice 5-minute intro, 10 minutes for the pre-survey, 10 minutes for the film, and 5 minutes for the post-survey. And we assessed these categories. And then we did an off-site follow-up survey via telephone with the folks in New Jersey, which I'll talk about a little bit later. So what were the subjects that we covered? It was ladder type, you know, what kinds of ladders are appropriate for the job. Inspection and maintenance of ladders, what you need to look for, little stickers, what it says on the little sticker, and is that the right ladder for the job. Proper setup of ladders, which we just saw, that doesn't always happen. Climbing and use, and then, you know, a short format of refresher information that we would give with tip sheets at their toolbox meetings that accompanied the DVD. It was also on the DVD. So we did some analysis, collection analysis of the data in the initial New Jersey group. We analyzed the data using Wilcoxon-Stein rank tests and McNamara tests for discordant pairs to look at changes in outcomes pre and post viewing the film. And the basic findings for that were that we had baseline responses, you know, were tending towards the desired behavior in this population, that the post-viewing means were improved in the intended behaviors that we wanted, so they were learning through this intervention. The behaviors with the least desirable baseline means had the greatest pre and post changes. Age was strongly associated with the baseline behaviors. Younger workers tended to have less desirable practices than older workers. And whether or not a worker had fallen in the past was also predictive of having sort of perceptions of less and knowledge that was less desirable than those who hadn't fallen. So those were the preliminary results from our New Jersey data. And I wanted to just kind of refresh people on that because we were looking at those data and comparing it with the Minnesota data. Some additional findings, you know, baseline means were favorable. Baseline means were more favorable compared to pre and post, but there weren't any consistent differences in baseline knowledge and attitudes of respondents by any demographic characteristics that we tested. So, you know, basically we found that the short educational film presenting easy to understand safety tips and emotional appeals was beneficial and had a powerful impact on intended safety practices. So now we go to the new study, which was done in comparing the union workers of New Jersey with the non-union workers of Minnesota. And we looked at their age distribution, we looked at the years in the trade, and what the racial distribution of this population was. This is just a little background on what the group looked like. And then we did the same sort of thing we did in New Jersey. We had a set of questions that looked at OSHA regulation related questions and then just general knowledge questions about safety and health, about ladder safety on the job, general knowledge about things. So as you can see from the questions on the left, you know, inspecting the ladder for damage before using it, do you clear away the debris, do you extend the ladder 3 feet above working surface, tie the ladder off at the top, at the bottom, set a straight ladder at a 75-degree angle, three-point climbing. All of these are the component pieces of, you know, OSHA regulations related to ladder safety. I think most of the folks in here who seem to know about us and know about construction would say, okay, these are all things that are important in understanding how to work with and use ladders. Do you walk the ladder while on it to change a ladder position? We added a few other questions thrown in there just to make sure that they weren't thinking this was all regulation. Stand on the top step of a ladder, which you saw in the picture that I showed you. Climb the back of a step ladder. Use an unopened step ladder like a straight ladder. On the other side of it, the general knowledge thing. So general knowledge about, you know, ladders. Few deaths and falls. Few deaths in construction are caused by falls from ladders. Fall protection programs cover ladder safety. If I fall on a job, it probably won't change the way I live my life. Inspecting a ladder before using it is critical, and we had them rate these on a Likert scale. Agree to strongly disagree. And what I wanted to point out, a few of the other ones. Workers' comp won't cover all the costs of a work-related injury. Most falls on the job result in lost time. I could probably catch myself if I fall from a ladder. Big myth that people think that they can do. So the things that you see in red here are the questions on the left-hand side, which were significantly different between the union and non-union responses. So we had five questions on the OSHA OSHA regulation side that were significantly different, and three questions on the general knowledge about ladder safety that were significantly different. So let's look at this, pre and post training OSHA on the OSHA requirements. So inspecting the ladder for damage, and we had the pre-training assessment, pre-test, and then the post-training assessment. And as you can see, there were some real differences in the responses of the union and non-union workers. I don't have a pointer, but you can see, you know, the number of folks who said, you know, that they inspect the ladder for damage before using it. The union workers, 19 of them said that, the non-union workers, 45. And you can see there were significantly different significant differences between them in the pre-training and post-training, and actually the same for the post-training assessment. So on the next question, tie a straight ladder off at the bottom. Same thing, significantly different between the two groups. I just wanted to, you know, give you a picture that there were these differences in union, non-union, and the pre, and they did tend to change and improve as time went over. So for example, on tying off a straight ladder at the top, the union responses initially in the pre-intervention, 21% said so that they always do so in the pre-intervention. In the post-intervention, that number jumped up to 64%. So of what they would do, their self-reported, you know, what behavior or what they would do. So there was learning going on there. And of course, everybody will say, well, how long does that learning last? And how often do you have to do a refresher of this kind of information? I think you have to do it often. But this is the kind of response that we got from the folks in the union. When we looked at the non-union, you know, how often do you tie a ladder off at the top? It was 9% who said always. You know, at the post-intervention, it was 59%, so the number grew. So clearly, there was an impact in what they had gained by viewing the DVD and getting the information from the tip sheets. So again, we had another question about tying straight ladders off at the top. Again, significant differences between the baseline training and the post. There was less of a difference in the union, non-union, not significant difference in the union, non-union post, but you'd actually hope that because they'd actually learned something, so that was a good thing. Same thing with keeping your body within ladder falls, at ladder rails at all times. So significant differences in pre and post. And how about using an unopened step ladder like a straight ladder? So, you know, we really got to see that there were some areas that people were getting it, and of course there were other questions that they weren't. What about, you know, these ideas of general information, the conceptions about or perceptions about ladder safety? Very few deaths in construction are caused by falls from ladders. This is in the construction industry with guys who work with ladders and what they generally know. It's kind of an interesting fact, but, you know, there were differences between the union and non-union folks. You know, in the pre-intervention union responses, 56% disagree. It went to 82% in the post-test intervention. So there was some improvement in understanding there. Non-union responses, 64 disagree, going up to 91 in the post-test intervention. Again, falling on the job would have little economic impact on me and my family. Well, for this one, there was no significant difference in the union, non-union, but you can maybe interpret maybe the union folks thought that they had greater benefits and that there wouldn't be that much of an impact. We don't know. It's a little hard to interpret why that might have happened, but there were differences in the post-training assessment of that once they became more informed about the impacts and what it costs. I'd refuse to work on an unsafe ladder. I mean, this happens all the time. You know, people say, well, as a job schedule, there's equipment there, I have to use it. There were significant differences in the union, non-union responses at the baseline to refusing to work with unsafe equipment. And then we looked at the post and pre directions of change for things. And, you know, really unsafe behavior from power lines. Power lines was a tricky question, and we didn't really get the responses that we thought. I mean, we didn't get significant differences here, and we think we just had a poorly worded question that didn't quite work out so well for us. So I think we attribute this to a bad question, that we didn't get differences on this because people didn't understand what we were talking about in terms of distances away from power lines. But I thought I would report it anyway. Economic impact. Again, there, you know, we didn't see a significant difference on the union side initially, and the non-union side we did. Fall programs covering ladders. The union side got it. The non-union side, had a bigger change in their understanding of it. On the inspecting being critical side, you know, I think they both maybe thought that it was critical, so it wasn't quite so much of a difference between the two groups. And then we did some regression analysis to look at these OSHA-regulated kinds of questions and did a stepwise contribution of each of the variables into the model. And these are the things that popped up that were significantly different. You know, we included union versus non-union, age, Hispanic versus other ethnicity, years in trade, which was not different, and ever fallen versus not fallen for the population. So you can see this is what came out in this population group of sort of important variables in the model. And we did the same thing looking at those knowledge questions, you know, general knowledge about ladder falls and construction and the set of questions that were on the right side of that set of survey questions. And these are the variables that came out that were significantly different between the two groups and what showed up. Union, age, Hispanic versus other, years in trade, and ever fallen versus not fallen. So what we got from this, our conclusions from this, were that unions had a higher baseline knowledge of regulations than their non-union counterparts, who should receive more training in this area and general work elements of ladder safety. That knowledge about OSHA regs on ladder safety is influenced by things like union status, age, Hispanic ethnicity, and prior fall experience. And that a very simple intervention can influence knowledge of regulations and general work practices on the job. It was a relatively small population, not a national survey, but it's a start at a project-based, site-based, state-based way of assessing this. So we hope that maybe this could be expanded to other population groups and other places. And this is a copy of the jacket of the Don't Fall For It DVD, which I think many of you have seen and maybe even used in some of your projects, we hope. The newest version that's come out has a set of the pre-test and post-test surveys on it, so that if you were to try and use this in your locale, you'd be able to have access to that and use it to assess whether you see differences as well. There aren't a lot of studies that make this comparison and look at this for a very high priority area. So the more we can do, the more we can say about the differences and what they might be, the cause of those might help inform and target our intervention efforts for training purposes. So that's it. Thanks.